Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Ayin Bet Amud Aleph. The Gemara is discussing the Mishnah that we saw yesterday at the end of yesterday's daf. The Mishnah began with a Pesach sheshachato shelo lishmo. Pesach that you shechted not l'shem Pesach is a posel Pesach, and therefore on Shabbat you're going to be chayav chatat because you didn't do what you were supposed to do, the mitzvah of bringing your korban a Pesach. And since you're not in the process of doing something that's allowed on Shabbat, you're going to have to bring a chatat for doing it. Gemara wants to know, but my eskinan, what exactly is that case? If it's a case where he made a mistake, he thought that his korban was allowed to be brought, and it was another zevach, and that he was bringing it. Shmat mino. From that we conclude that akira bitaut tavi akira, that removing the shem pesach by mistake is good enough to remove the shem pesach. Happens to be a machloket amuraim in the Gemara Menachot between Rabbo and Rav Chista, as to whether when a person removes the shame of the korban from it by mistake, whether that actually works or it doesn't work. So over here from our Mishnah, we would have a conclusion based on the fact that you're saying that the first case in the Mishnah is a case where he did it by mistake. The answer would be that it would work because over here he did it by mistake and we still say it's a posel korban because he changed the shame from a Pesach to something else. And the Pesach Shelo Lishmo is Pasul, and your Chayav HaChatat on Shabbat. So we have an answer to our question. Akira B'Taot, Havi Akira. So that would be an answer to that Machloket Amoraim, which was never brought as a proof to one of the two positions. Ella, it must be the case in the Reisha is Be'oker, a case where he actively removes it. He knows that it's a Korban HaPesach, and nevertheless, he changes it to be a Zevach Acher. He thinks he can bring it for another Zevach, and he changes the name. So what the Gemara is discussing over here, there are two possibilities of changing the name of a Zevach. Could be a possibility of a Korban HaPesach here, and by mistake you bring it as another Korban, you bring it as a Shlamim. Or, there's a possibility that you bring a Korban HaPesach, and you know it's a Korban HaPesach, yet you still change it into a Shlamim. The case where you do it by mistake, that's called Toeh. And the case where you know what the issue is, and you're still doing it, that's called Oker. So the Gemara wants to understand in our Mishnah, what's the case here? When he changed it from a Pesach to something else, did he do it intentionally, Oker? Or was it a case Toeh that he did it mistakenly? Where it says it can't be the case of mistakenly, otherwise we'd have a chreya, we'd have a decision with regards to that machloket amuraim with regards to akira b'taut. So it must be that our case in the first part of the Mishnah is talking about okay, we did it intentionally and he removed it. Ema seifa. Then what are you going to do with the next case in the Mishnah? B'shar kol hazvachim, in the case we have another korban, sheshachtan l'shum pesach, that you brought it the shem pesach. If they don't qualify to be a korban a pesach chayav, because clearly there was no reason to make a mistake that it should be a pesach. If they have the same trappings, characteristics, traits of a korban a pesach, then Rabbi Lezer is mechayev chatat because Rabbi Lezer doesn't believe that toa b'davar mitzvah is a ptur. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua poter in that case because he says you're toa b'davar mitzvah. You made a mistake while you were accomplishing a mitzvah. Vibo care, if you're removing it intentionally, you know that this korban is not a Pesach, and yet you're still bringing it for a Pesach intentionally, mali ruin, mali sheinan ruin. What's the difference whether it's ro'oi to be a Pesach, not ro'oi to be a Pesach? In this case, it's not ta'a b'dvar mitzvah. You didn't make a mistake. You did this intentionally. So there's no ta'a b'dvar mitzvah, and why would Rabbi Yeshua ever be poter in that case? Elapshito, it must be that that next case in the Mishnah is talking about a case b'to'et, where you mistakenly changed it from another Zevach to a Pesach. And in that case, it makes a difference whether the traits or character of this animal is similar to a Pesach or not, whether it's a reasonable mistake for you to make, and whether it's Toa B'Dvar Mitzvah and you're Patur. So now it turns out, Reisha, the first part of the Mishnah is Boker, where you intentionally remove the shame. Save for the next case in the Mishnah is Betuah is a mistake. So when you change the Korban from a Pesach to something else, we say you're doing that intentionally. In a case where you're changing the other korban to a pesach, we're saying that's done accidentally. So there's an almost inconsistency in the Mishnah. Amar Rabbi Yavin, in. That's exactly what the Mishnah reads. Reisha boker v'sefer b'tueh. The first case is a case where he did it intentionally. The next case in the Mishnah is a case where he did it accidentally. Ashkehei Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef the Rabbi Bo. Rav Yitzchak bar Yosef found Rabbi Bo. Da'avagoy b'chulusa d'inshe. He was standing amongst a great multitude of people that were around him. A great entourage that was around him. Amalei, matnitin mai. Said, how do you explain our Mishnah? Amalei, reisha boker, sefer b'tueh. He reiterates what we just said before, which is that the first case in the Mishnah where it's a Pesach l'shem something else, Pesach shelo lishmo, it's a case where he did it intentionally. Seifa, in the case where he changed another Zevach to a Pesach, that's a case where he made a mistake. Tamineh arba in Zimnin, he learned it, he reviewed it from him 40 times, until it was like as if he had it in his pocket. meaning that he was able to walk away feeling confident that he understood it and that he wouldn't forget it. Remember, this is Torah Shebaal Peh. He's learning about Peh, so he reviewed the item over and over again until he was certain that he understood and he had it down pat. And then when he left, it was as if he had it in his pocket, meaning it was something that was at the tip of his tongue, something that he understood now about this Mishnah. That's not. Our Mishnah continues, and the Gemara is now going to continue based on what we've set up now, that the Mishnah is a case of Oker in the Reisha and Toeh. In the second case, wants to understand the continuation of the Mishnah, which is Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Maim Pesach Shemutar Lishmo, Pesach, which is Mutar to bring as a Pesach on Erev Pesach, Kishishinat Shmo Chayab, when you change it to another Zevach, you're Chayab because it's a Pasul Karban, Zvachim Shein Asurim Lishman, other Karbanot, which are not a Pesach, which you may not bring on Erev Pesach, Shishinat Shmo Menu Din Shei Chayab, then when you change them to something that they're not supposed to be, certainly it should be problematic and you should be chayav echata'at. Umar says, v'mito, if you're right about the setup of our Mishnah, haludomi, then how could he make a comparison? He's comparing the first case of the Mishnah, which is a Pesach changing to another name, to the second case of the Mishnah, which is another Korban changing to the Shem Pesach. And he says, I can parallel those two cases. Well, how could he parallel the cases? The Reisha Boker v'sefer b'toeh. Talking about two different manifestations of changing of the name. The Reisha is a case of Boker. Safe is a case of Toeh. How can I prove anything? Maybe in the case of Oker, there we say that there's a problem and it's Pasul. But in the case of Toeh, maybe you aren't successful at changing the name of the Korban, and it should be just fine. So how do you know you should be able to extrapolate the din from the ratio to the Sefer? So Gemara says, the Rabbi Eliezer, lo shanile. You're right. For Rabbi Eliezer, he does not differentiate between Oker and Toeh. He sees no difference between them. He thinks Toeh Bar Mitzvah is no different than being Oker. And therefore, he doesn't see a distinction between the Reish and the Seifa. Where it says, okay, but the Rabbi Yeshua, the Shani Le, Rabbi Yeshua clearly does think there's a difference between the Reish and the Seifa. Lishlene, that's how he should have responded to Rabbi Lezer's question. Rabbi Lezer brings a Kav L'Chomer and says, well, if it's true in the Reish, then certainly it should be true in the Seifa. Rabbi Lezer's response should have been to him is, wait a minute, you're comparing apples and oranges. You're saying Reish, which is okay, I'm comparing that to Toeh and the Seifa, it's the wrong comparison. So how come Rabbi Yeshua doesn't say that? So Rabbi says, no, this is how Rabbi Yeshua is responding to Rabbi Eliezer. Lididi, in my own reasoning, Rabbi Yeshua says, Lo dami Reish be'oker, de Seifa be'toeh. The two have nothing to do with each other, and your Kav HaChomer doesn't work. So according to me, I don't have any issue with what you're saying, because your Kav HaChomer has no validity, because I think the Reish is talking about a case of Oker, and the Seifa is talking about a case of Toeh. That according to you, who thinks that there's no differentiation between Toeh and Oker, lo imamart bePesach. Then he gives another reason why it shouldn't work. By Pesach shishinat shemado devar asur. You're changing Pesach to a name of another korban, which is not really to be brought at that time. Tomar bezvachim shishinat shemado devar mutar. You're changing these korbanot, the shlamim, into something now that's mutar on that day, which is Pesach. It depends what you're changing to. In the case of the Reisha, you're changing from Pesach, which is kosher, to something that's not valid on that day, to another Korban. On the other hand, in the Seifa, you're changing other Korbanot, which aren't valid, to a Pesach, which is valid. So maybe the two should not be compared. Maybe there's no Kav HaChomer, like you're saying. And that's his question. Rabbi Lezer, the Shitatcha, that you don't differentiate between Toeh and Oker, I still see a problem in comparing between the Reisha and the Seifa. Amar Le Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer responds to Rabbi Yeshua and says, Emurei Tzibur Yochichu, that the emurim that are brought from the Korban HaTzibur will prove you wrong. Shei mutarim lishman, they themselves can be brought on Shabbat, ha-shochet lishman chayav. And someone who shechs another animal to be the Korbanot HaTzibur is chayav. Amar lo Rabbi Yeshua, lo, that's not a good comparison. Im amarta be'emurei tzibur shekeng yitzlehem kitzva. By the case of the emurei tzibur, it has a limit to it, meaning that there's only one Korban HaTzibur that's brought in a day. So to make such a mistake is not necessarily reasonable or cannot be considered or classified as a Toeh b'dvar mitzvah. On the other hand, tomar b'pesach she'en lo kitzva, you're comparing that to Pesach, which there are an unlimited number of psachim that can be brought. And if there's an animal in the mikdash sitting there, it makes sense that someone would say, oh, it's a korban Pesach, let me bring it on behalf of those individuals, let me shecht it for them. Because there's no limit to the number of psachim, and it's a reasonable assumption and a reasonable stake to make that this was a korban Pesach. And that's a Toeh b'dvar mitzvah, lememra. So what you would conclude from this statement of Rabbi Yeshua is, d'chohecha d'le kitzvah, anytime that there's a limited, a finite number of items here, mechayev Rabbi Yeshua doesn't consider that to be Toeh b'dvar mitzvah. V'harei tinokot. Problem is that we have a case by young children, te'eshlem kitzvah, where there is a limit or a finite number of individuals or mitzvot to be done here, v'tanan. And we have a mishnah in Rabbi Lezer d'milah, Mishayolo shtei tinokot. He has two children, two babies here. Chadamulo achar Shabbat, one of them becomes 8 days old on Sunday. Chadamulo b'Shabbat, and one of them becomes 8 days old on Shabbat. So the one who becomes 8 days old on Shabbat is dochet to Shabbat. The one who becomes 8 days old on Sunday is obviously not dochet to Shabbat. He's not a milah before that time period, or before he reaches Sunday. So now, what happens? Shachach. He made a mistake. Umalat shalachar Shabbat b'Shabbat. And he gave a brit milah to the baby who was supposed to get his milah on Sunday. He gave it on Shabbat. Chayav. He's chayav according to everybody there. Because there he was toeh, but he didn't do any mitzvah. Because when he gives the milah to the baby that's supposed to get his milah on Sunday, he's only 7 days old today. So he has done nothing. He hasn't accomplished anything. Echadamulo b'erev Shabbat. On the other hand, if one of the babies turns 8 days on Friday, echadamul b'Shabbat, and the other one turns 8 days on Shabbat, v'shachach, and he makes a mistake, umalat shalachar Shabbat b'Shabbat, he gives a milah to the one that was supposed to get on Friday on Shabbat, then Rabbi Lezer mechayev chatat. Rabbi Lezer says, mechayev chatat. Yes, you're toed b'dvar mitzvah, but for him, toed b'dvar mitzvah is not a p'tur. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua puter. Yeshua says you're p'tur. Why? Because the baby that was supposed to get his brit on the 8th day on Friday, when you do it on Shabbat, ein ochanami, it's not supposed to be doche Shabbat. But in the end, you did accomplish a mitzvah. You accomplished the mitzvah of milah. This child is now mahul, and therefore you accomplished the mitzvah, even though you weren't supposed to be doche Shabbat. So that's toed b'dvar mitzvah. Similar to the case here by the Korban HaPesach, where you are making a mistake by bringing another Korban as a Pesach, and you're still accomplishing a mitzvah because the Korban that you are bringing is kosher. In the end, any Zevach that shalo lishmo, so assuming it's not a Chatat, is kosher the Mizbeach, so you're doing a mitzvah. So similarly over there, Rabbi Yeshua says you're Patur. But over here, it's a case of Tinokot. There are only two babies here. This is a finite number of babies. And why would we say that it's Toeh B'Dvar Mitzvah? Sama Rabbi Ami, Yochan Mayaskinan, Kegon Shkadam, Umalat Shel Erev Shabbat B'Shabbat. The two babies here that are supposed to get a Brit Milah, one of them was supposed to get it Friday, the other one's supposed to get it on Shabbat. Now he comes to Shabbat, and he hasn't done a Milah for either of them. Then he goes in and gives a Milah to the one that was supposed to be on Friday. So Umalat Shel Erev Shabbat B'Shabbat, Deika Hach the Shabbat. So since there was this one that's supposed to get a Milah on Shabbat, did Torit Bey, that he's engrossed with, he's engaged with, he is worried about taking care of that mitzvah. So that shrida, that being occupied with doing the mitzvah, is enough of an excuse for you to say that it was toeh b'dvar mitzvah. Hocha, by the case of the emurei tzibur, kegon shekadam v'shachtinu the emurei tzibur bereisha. It was a case where the korban tzibur was already brought on that day. So since the korban tzibur was already brought on that day, when you go to work or bring the korban now, and you say, oh, this is for the korban tzibur, it was already brought, so there's no reason for you to say it. There's no torit. You're not involved, engrossed, or engaged in the mitzvah bringing the korban tzibur. So there's no excuse for toeh b'dvar mitzvah. So yes, both of these cases are cases of kitzvah, where it's finite. But in one of the instances, the case of the children, there is a child who's supposed to get a meal on Shabbat that has yet to be done. And since you will be engaged in doing that, when you make the mistake with the other child, that's called toeh b'dvar mitzvah. On the other hand, in the case of the korban tzibur, it's a case where the korban tzibur is already brought. So yes, there's a finite number of korbanot. There's only one korban tzibur brought. But since it was already brought at this point in time, then when it comes to you bringing it by mistake, that's not toeh b'dvar mitzvah. The mitzvah is already done. There's not even anything to be a sukkah. There's nothing to be engaged in. Now the truth is, the same would be true by milah and the tinokot in a case where you already gave the brit milah to the one on Shabbat. If you already gave him his milah and then you make a mistake and do the one for Erev Shabbat, afterwards, you'd be in the same position as the tavis of a korban tzibur. And in that instance, we would say that that's not Torah b'dvar mitzvah, and even Rabbi Yeshua would agree that you are chayav in that case. So when it says yochi, then we can do the next line in our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer, afa shochet l'shem emurei tzibur patur. Rabbi Meir says you're patur. Why would Rabbi Meir say you're patur here? There's no mitzvah being accomplished. Avagav de kavmin v'shachtinu l'emurei tzibur b'reisha. Even though the korban tzibur is already brought, been shechted and brought already, so now you're going to say that he's still patur? Vatanya, don't we have a bright Rabbi Chia Evel Arev? Rabbi Chia from this location, Amar Rabbi Meir. He explained, he brought down the memra of Rabbi Meir. Lo nechlugu Rabbi Lezer Rabbi Yeshua al shayu lo shnei tinokot. Rabbi Lezer and Rabbi Yeshua don't argue in a case where there are two babies. Echad the mul b'erev Shabbat, one to be get a milah on Friday, echad the mul b'Shabbat, and one to get a milah on Shabbat. Shachach. Mal shel Erev Shabbat b'Shabbat, and he made a mistake, and he brought the one of Erev Shabbat on Shabbat. Dechayav. Everybody agrees you're chayav. Ama nechluku, what do they argue about? Av shayilu shnei tinokot, two babies, echad amul achar Shabbat, one to be on Sunday, v'echad amul b'Shabbat, and one on Shabbat. Shechach amalat shel achar Shabbat b'Shabbat. And then he takes the Sunday baby and does the meal on Shabbat for it. Rabbi Lezer mechayev chatat, Rabbi Yeshua puter. Rabbi Lezer says you're chayev chatat, Rabbi Yeshua says you're puter. Rabbi says v'tizbra. This brayta, the way the Rav Meir has it laid out, is the exact opposite of what we said until now. Until now, we've said that Rav Yeshua is going to be poter in a case where we're dealing with a baby that had a milah on Friday and baby had a milah on Shabbat. Because in that case, you're toled b'divar mitzvah. When you give a milah to the baby who was supposed to be on Friday, yes, it's the wrong day, but in the end, you've done the mitzvah milah. On the other hand, the case where it's a Sunday baby and a Shabbat baby, and you give the Sunday baby a brit on Shabbat, the Sunday baby got nothing accomplished. He's not ready for a brit milah yet. He's not 8 days old. So you've done absolutely nothing. So that's what we've thought until now. All of a sudden, Rabbi Meir flips it on its head and says, no, the other way around. If it's an Erev Shabbat and Shabbat baby and you made a mistake, then you're chayav according to everybody. Sunday baby and Shabbat baby, you make a mistake, then Rabbi Yeshua is poter. Where it says, v'tizbra, ma hatam t'lo avid mitzvah, in a case where you didn't do a mitzvah, patar Rabbi Yeshua, because it's your patur. In a case of the Sunday baby you did on Shabbat, he says your patur, hey, chad avid mitzvah. In a case where it's the Friday baby, that he did a mitzvah mechayev, he's going to say he's chayav. Why would he say that's more of a tov b'dvar mitzvah? So Amrei debate Rabbi Yanai Reisha. The first case in that brayta is going to kadamu mal shel Shabbat be'erev Shabbat. It's a case where he switched them around. He took the baby that was supposed to be on Shabbat and he did it on Friday. So now it comes to Shabbat and there's nobody to give a milah to. The person who was doche Shabbat, baby that was supposed to be doche Shabbat, is no longer available. He did that on Friday already. So there's no reason for you to be tarud or to think about being doche Shabbat. So because of that, when you go ahead and then you do the milah for the Friday baby on Shabbat, you're not called a tarud or toeb dvar mitzvah. There is no mitzvah to do over here. Shelo nitna Shabbat litchot. There's no reason for Shabbat to be nitchet here because you have no permission to give milah. There's nobody who's ra'ui for a milah today. On the other hand, the seifa, the latter case where Rabbi Meir says Rabbi Yeshua is poter, is a case that nitna Shabbat litchot etzlo. In a case where there were two babies, one on Sunday, one on Shabbat. The baby on Shabbat allows you to be doche et Shabbat, allows you to override Shabbat. So since there's permission to be doche Shabbat, when you make a mistake with the other baby, that's considered to be okay. Tocha. And so too in our case over here, by the Korban Eitz Tzibur, Hari Nidna Shabbat Itchot Eitzel Korban Tzibur. That Shabbat is allowed to be overridden because of the Korban Tzibur. And since you have permission to override Shabbat for the Korban Tzibur, when you do something wrong on Shabbat, that's considered to be a toeh b'dvar mitzvah. Now, Amalei Rav Ashi, the Rav Kahana, Hochanami. Okay, as in our case as well, you can say that there are other babies who are born and their eighth day is on Shabbat, and Shabbat is overridden by their milah. Where it says, but for this individual, he doesn't have that mitzvah. When this individual has the mitzvah, or it's incumbent upon him the mitzvah, or there's permission for that person to violate the Shabbat, and then he makes a mistake over there, Rabbi Meir says, you are patur. So Rabbi Meir's shita in the end turns out, as Rashi explains, va'afagav de torid bay, even though he's engaged in it, deram ye mitzvah le'ei, because he has a mitzvah to do, vi machshavato, like what he thought, v'gam asah mitzvah, and he did a mitzvah. So in the case where it's the Friday baby, and he's doing it on Shabbat, he's tarud, at least based on his mistaken assumption that he has to do a milah on Shabbat, because he's thinking about doing the milah for the baby that was supposed to be on Shabbat. And over here, he does the milah for the Friday baby, and he accomplishes a mitzvah by doing that. Over there he's chayav, because he had no permission to violate Shabbat. The only permission to violate Shabbat was the Shabbat baby, and the Shabbat baby already was taken care of prior to Shabbat. B'seifa, on the other hand, the latter case, the nitna Shabbat lidchot etzel Shabbat, shel Shabbat. Since you have permission to give milah for the baby who's rightfully on the eighth day on Shabbat, v'tov b'dvar mitzvah, and he made a mistake with the Sunday baby and did it then, he's patur, afilo lo asa mitzvah, the Rabbi Meir. Even if he doesn't accomplish a mitzvah, you are patur. So now, Rabbi Meir's shita is that the accomplishment of the mitzvah is not relevant. What's relevant over here is, number one, that you have to be engaged, tarud, in some way. Number two is you have to have permission, for whatever reason, to be doche Shabbat. That permission to be doche Shabbat, now you make a mistake and do something else, that is toeb dvar mitzvah, according to Rabbi Meir. So now, the way we have the Gemara lined up as of now is, Rabbi Lezer believes there's no concept of toeb dvar mitzvah, and he makes no differentiation between toeb or oker. And that's why he has a kal v'chomer out of our Mishnah, which says that if you change a Pesach to something else, it's problematic. That certainly if you change something else to a Pesach, it should be problematic. And he shows from Emurei Tzibur that that is true, even when you're changing the animal to something that is kasher. Because over there we say it's pasul, even though you're changing the animal to something that is mutar to be docheh to Shabbat. Rabbi Yeshua, on the other hand, first of all, sees a difference between the Reish and Seif. It says the Reish is a case of oker, Seif is a case of toeh, apples and oranges, you can't make the kal v'chomer. In addition to that, you can't make this kal v'chomer because in the latter case, you're changing another zevach to Pesach. You're changing from something that's asur to something that's mutar. And maybe over there, that's okay, or that's not problematic. That's to ebed var mitzvah versus the first case. And by a murei tzibur, you don't bring your proof because there's a finite number of karbanot that are brought. So that mistake is not a reasonable mistake. Over here, by the case of Korban Pesach, where you have unlimited number of Korban Pesach that can be brought, that's a to'eh b'dvar mitzvah. Where it says, what about tinokot? What about the babies? Over the babies there, we also have a finite number. And yet Rabbi Yeshua still calls it to'eh b'dvar mitzvah. Where it says, that's different. Because in the case of the babies, you still have both babies in front of you. And since you have both babies in front of you, you're torud, you're engaged, you are engrossed in the mitzvah, and you're to'eh b'dvar mitzvah. So that's why you're patur over there, despite the fact that it's finite. But the emurei tzibur, they already brought the korban tzibur. So now what, you're going to bring it again? That's not called tarud or tarud b'dvar mitzvah. The mitzvah was already accomplished at that point in time. And the truth is, the same would be true in reverse. By the children, if one of the mitzvah milah was already accomplished for the one who was on Shabbat, then you would not be considered to be a tarud b'dvar mitzvah anymore because you already accomplished the mitzvah that needed to be done. So for Rabbi Yeshua, in order for you to be patur, you'll need number one to be tarud b'dvar mitzvah. And number two is you have to osem mitzvah. You have to do some sort of mitzvah. So you have to be engaged in a mitzvah that causes you to be tarud. And number two is you have to, in the end, when you make the mistake, you also have to do something that accomplishes a mitzvah. Then we have Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir believes that, number one, you have to be engaged in a mitzvah. And number two is, it has to be a case where Shabbat, you have permission to violate for another reason. And then by accident, you violate the Shabbat with something that wasn't supposed to be part of that dispensation. In that case, you are patur, even if you don't accomplish a mitzvah. So for Rabbi Meir, the issue is not whether you accomplished the mitzvah or not, but rather, whether you have permission to be dochet to Shabbat by the children. If it's a case where the child who gets a meal on Shabbat is still there, then that's a case where Shabbat is nitan lidchot. Since it's nitan lidchot, when you make a mistake with the other baby, you are patur even if you don't accomplish a mitzvah. Number two is by emurei tzibur, you have the same thing. By emurei tzibur, you were osuk or torud in doing something. Number two is Shabbat nitan lidchot. Shabbat can be overridden because of the korbanei tzibur. So you have the ingredients for Rabbi Meir to make you patur. Even though when you shock the animal, the shem korban tzibur, it doesn't do anything. You've accomplished nothing and done no mitzvah. Nevertheless, you're still patur over there because you had permission to violate Shabbat. And you were tarud. And that's enough of a dispensation. Although truthfully, in the case of Murei tzibur, you do accomplish a mitzvah because you bring a korban shelo lishma, which ends up being a korban or kodashim that are brought in the mizbeach, which would be a mitzvah. So now the Gemara moves on to further discuss the position of Rabbi Yeshua, which is b'shar kol hazvachim sheshachatan shalom Pesach. All our kavanot that you brought the shem Pesach, imenan ruin chayav. If they are not ra'uy to be a Pesach, then he's chayav because that's not tov b'dvar mitzvah im ruim. But if they are ra'uy to be a Pesach, then we consider that to be tov b'dvar mitzvah. But lezer mechayev chatar Rabbi Yeshua puter. Man tano d'shani lei ben ruin l'shein ruinin. Which tano makes a differentiation between whether it's ra'uy to be a Pesach or not ra'uy to be a Pesach? Rabbi Shimoni. It's Rabbi Shimon, the Tanya, we have a brighter. Echad azvachim aruim, vechad azvachim shein ruim. Doesn't matter whether zevach is roi to be a Pesach, not roi to be a Pesach. Chen ashochet, the shame, and murei tzibur, someone who shaks for garment tzibur, patur. Divrei Rabbi Meir. That's Rabbi Meir's position. Rabbi Meir's position is, number one, have to have permission to be dochesh Shabbat for something at that time. Number two is you have to be tarud, you have to be a suk in something. That makes you patur, whether you accomplish mitzvah or not. So over here, he makes no differentiation whether it's roi to be a Pesach, not roi to be a Pesach. Shabbat was nitan lidachot for Pesach on that day. Doesn't matter if this is roi or not roi for Pesach, you're tarud. You're tarud, you're osek b'mitzvah, you're totally fine even if you don't accomplish a mitzvah. Same is true by the emurei tzibur as well. Since you have permission to violate Shabbat for them, even though now when you do this karban for the emurei tzibur, it really has no bearing or no meaning because the mitzvah is already accomplished. Nevertheless, since you are tarud and you have permission to violate Shabbat for the emurei tzibur, that's enough to say that you're patur. I'm Rabbi Shimon, that's not the case. Everybody agrees if the korban is not ro'i to be a Pesach, you're chayav. Alma nechlugu, then what is the machlok between them? Aro'in. If it's ro'i to be a Pesach, Rabbi Eliezer mechayev chatat, Rabbi Yeshua puter. Eliezer says you're chayav chatat, Rabbi Yeshua is patur because you're tall b'dvar mitzvah. I'm Rabbi Bibi, I'm Rabbi Eliezer, puter haya Rabbi Meir. Afilu ego shel zivchei shlamim. That Rabbi Meir was even puter when it was a calf that was a shlamim. Sheshachato l'shem Pesach, that he brought as a Pesach. Because he doesn't care whether it's ro'oi or not ro'oi. All he cares is that you're tarud and you have permission to violate the Shabbat in this mitzvah. So an eagle, which clearly is not a Pesach, because a Pesach can only come from flock animals, from tzon, not from bakar. So we're talking about a case where it's clearly not a Pesach, and we do the same Pesach, still your patur according to Rabbi Meir. Amalei Rabbi Zera, Rabbi Bibi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Modaya Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Mumim. Rabbi Meir agrees, if it's a Baal Mum here, that you are not patur anymore, because it's so obvious that that is not a proper korban, and therefore if you make a mistake and bring it as a korban, there's no dispensation for you, because that's not something that you should have gotten mixed up with, not reasonable assumption. Amalei Rabbi Mumim, Lotarid Bo. You're talking about Baal Mum, he's not engaged, he's not engrossed, he's not involved in the process of doing a mitzvah. Bahai Torid Bey. On the other hand, we're talking about this korban that he has to bring. This is a korban which he has to get to the mizbeach at some point. So he's tarud in it. He's thinking about it. He wants to accomplish it. So in the end, when he brings it, he is going to be patur, because then he's considered to be quote unquote a tov bidvar mitzvah, even though he accomplishes no mitzvah. Bamine Rava mi Rav Nachman. Rava asked Rav Nachman his Rebbe, Chulin the Shum Pesach. If you bring Chulin as a Pesach, Ma'ali Amar Rabbi Meir. What Rabbi Meir say in this case? Amalei Poter Hai Rabbi Meir, Afilu Chulin Nishum Pesach. Rabbi Meir says it's Patur when you bring Chulin Nishum Pesach. V'amar Rabbi Yochanan, Modai Rabbi Meir, Bale Mumim. When it's so obvious that this is not a Pesach, then you are not Patur according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi says, Bale Mumim Lo Michlefei. When you're talking about a Baal Mum, that doesn't get mixed up with regular Kodashim. That's something you know for certain is not going to be Kodashim. There's no way to make a mistake here. Hani, on the other hand, Chulin, Michlefei, gets mixed up with regular Kodashim. It's really to be a Pesach, whether it's Kadosh or not Kadosh for Pesach, that easily gets mistaken, and therefore that's considered to be Tarud Ba Mitzvah, and that's enough for Rabbi Meir to be Poter you. But Taimi, the Rabbi Meir, Mishum Ichlufei, Velo Ichlufei? Is that really true? The Rabbi Meir's reasoning behind why he says sometimes it's not considered to be problematic, it has to do whether you would mix it up or not mix it up. If you would reasonably mix up the items, then you're Patur. If you would not reasonably mix up the items, then you're a chayav. V'amar Rabbi ben Elazar, poter yomiru afilu ego shel zivchei shlamim, shachto l'shum Pesach. That he was even poter by a calf of zivchei shlamim. There's something that you would not mix up as a gorman of Pesach. Nevertheless, he still says you're patur. Alma taimed Rabbi Meir b'shum detorid. Problem is that he's engrossed, he's engaged in the mitzvah, he wants to do the mitzvah, and therefore he makes a mistake in judgment. Samalei, no, this is Rabbi Meir's position. Torid, afagav delo michlaf. So if he's engaged or engrossed in the mitzvah and he makes a mistake because of that, he is patur, even though it's not something that you would mix up. Michlaf, but if it's something that you would mix up, afagav delo torid, even though you're not engrossed or engaged in the mitzvah, there too, that would be poter you. So each of these cases here, whether it's the case of Ega where you're tarud, not about michlaf, but tarud. Case of Chulin, where it's michlaf and not tarud. There, Rabbi Meir will say you are patur. On the other hand, the tafuke bale mumim, telo yichlufu michlaf, velo mitra torid. In that case, you have nothing. You have nothing going for you. You don't mix them up with other kodashim, and you don't get engaged or engrossed in them. They're not going on the mizbech. You don't have to think about bringing them as a karban and putting them on the mizbech. So you're also not tarud. And therefore, Rabbi Meir will say you're chayav in that case, because there's nothing or no dispensation for you. So Rabbi Meir's net is much wider. It's either if something that you would mix up, or something that you're tarud in. Either one of those items by themselves is sufficient to be poter you from a korban chatat if you did it on Shabbat. Yati Rabbi Zeira, Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Rabbi Yitzchak, Akilo, Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Rabbi Yitzchak. So Rabbi Zeira and Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Rabbi Yitzchak were sitting on the porch of Rabbi Shmuel, Bar Rabbi Yitzchak. But Yatviv Kamre, they were sitting around and speaking. I'm Rabbi Shimon Ben Lakish. Shimon Lakish says, Nitchalef lo shipud shel notar, b'shipud shel tzli. He gets mixed up. He has one spit that has notar on it, and there's another spit that has roasted meat on it. Vachalom. And he eats it, chayav. Rabbi Yochan Amar, Ishto nida baal chayav. If his wife is a nida, and he slept with her, he's chayav. Yivim to nida. On the other hand, if Yivama is a nida, and Baal, and he slept with her, patur, then he is patur. But Gemara will discuss now how does Rabbi Yochanan's statement relate to what Reish Lakish said. Just starting with Reish Lakish's statement, here we have a case where you have Achilat Kodashim, which is the Basar Tzli, whether it's a Pesach, whether it's another Korban, there's a mitzvah to eat Kodashim, so you have a Davar mitzvah, and then you have Notar, which is problematic to eat. And they got mixed up together, or somehow got mixed up, and you ate it. So now there's a mistake. You were trying to accomplish a mitzvah. You're Torud and Osek B'mitzvah. So over there, Rabbi Shimon Lakish says you are Chayav because you didn't do a mitzvah in the end. Yes, you're Torud. Yes, you're Osek B'mitzvah, Tal B'dvar mitzvah, but you didn't accomplish a mitzvah, so you're Chayav. Now, what does Rabbi Yochanan say in relationship to that, which Rabbi Reish Lakish said? So Gemara brings two possibilities. Ikad Amri, Kosher Bechein B'hayid Mechayiv. Yochanan's mechayiv in a case where it's ishto nida and Certainly, in our case, he would be mechayev because the law is a mitzvah. In the case by his wife, at least when he slept with his wife, he did a mitzvah. We'll discuss what that mitzvah is in a minute. But he did a mitzvah. If Rabbi Yochanan there says that he's chayav, then certainly in a case where you have the shipudim and he accomplished no mitzvah because he ate the notar, then certainly he'd be mechayev. Ita amrei b'hayi patur. Some say that Rabbi Yochanan would say in the case of Ishlakash, it's patur. My time, huh? In the case by the women, he should have asked her. Should ask whether she's in nidor or not. Who could he ask? When it comes to the notar and the tzli, nobody knows which is which. There's nobody to ask. So over there, you'd be patur, because that's a talit b'dvar mitzvah. But in the case by the women, where it's a talit b'dvar mitzvah, but yet, he could have found out the answer to his problem. He could ask the woman what the situation was, and then he wouldn't have had a problem. That's the case. The reason he says you're patur is because you accomplished a mitzvah. He sleeps with a yivama. There's a mitzvah for him to sleep, for the first time at least, at bial with the yivama, to acquire her, to bring her in as his wife. And in that case, he's accomplishing a mitzvah. So yes, it turns out that she was in nida, but it's a tal b'dvar mitzvah. He was engaged in a mitzvah. He made a mistake. And he's going to be patur in that case from the chiyuv chatat that would be associated with sleeping with the nida. Bishto should be the same thing. When he sleeps with his wife, he is doing a mitzvah. He's been mekayim the mitzvah of peru or revu. And therefore, if he's engaged in a mitzvah, why is that different than yivama? Gemara says, case bishto miuberet. His wife is pregnant. So there's no longer a mitzvah peru or revu because his wife's already pregnant. And he cannot impregnate her at this point in time because she's already pregnant. Vayika simchatuna. Even though a person is not chayav in peru or revu, there's still an obligation for one to be together with his wife to provide her the simcha of the physical closeness and the intimacy that's involved in biyah. So when I said, shalom b'shat onotam, is a time period when he wasn't obligated to do that. The Gemara lays out in other places how often one is obligated to provide their wife with that intimacy. Well, don't we have the other statement of Rava, which is that if his wife wants the intimacy, even if it's not at a time that it's in her onah, where she can demand it and where she has the right to have it, nevertheless, a person should do that because it's a mitzvah to fulfill his wife's desires. If that's the case, he is accomplishing a mitzvah. So far we haven't figured out why the isha, his wife, should be different than yivama. In all these cases, in the end, he accomplishes a mitzvah. And if by yivama, tab dvar mitzvah is patur, by his wife, he should also be patur. Gemara says, samuch levesta. It's very close to a period of time when she's going to become a nida. And samuch levesta, we know the din is in the Gemara Nida that you have to separate from one's wife. So since he had to separate from his wife, and Tosafot points out over here, it's obviously a case where he doesn't know for certain that it's samuch levesta. Because if he knew for certain it was samuch levesta, then he would have to separate out midoraita. So he doesn't know there was samuch levesta, but it turns out to be samuch levesta. He should have asked her whether it is.
Now Tosafot does point out that this question is only according to the second lashon in Rabbi Yochanan, where Rabbi Yochanan says, Tabid var mitzvah, even though you didn't accomplish a mitzvah, you are patur. Because in the end, when his wife turns out to be a nida, there is no mitzvah of simchat onah. Simchat onah does not apply to ishto nida. So if that's the case, in the end, he didn't accomplish a mitzvah, even though he thought he was going to do a mitzvah. So that is tal b'dvar mitzvah, and not accomplishing a mitzvah. So this question's on that second lashon. According to the first lashon, there is no question now because he didn't accomplish a mitzvah. If he didn't accomplish a mitzvah, then there is no patur in this case.
Where says he, okay, I feel the vim tonami. If it's samach levesta, then say the same thing by the yivama. It was also samach levesta. So why didn't he ask her? Yivimto baziz mino. By the yivama, he's a little bit embarrassed. He's a little bit shy about this because he's not been married to her. He doesn't have that sense of comfort and confidence. And therefore, he's not ready to ask her this type of personal type of question. Ishto lo baziz mino. But by his wife, where he already has intimacy and has a long-standing relationship with her, he's not embarrassed to ask the question of whether she's samuch levesta or not. So therefore, we demand of him by his wife to ask, and since he didn't ask, it's not considered to be a tov b'dvar mitzvah. Whereas, by the case by the yivama, where he has almost the same setup, but the reason he's considered to be a tov b'dvar mitzvah is because we can't demand of him to ask, because he would be too embarrassed to ask. It's not a comfortable position for him to ask, and therefore we don't ask him to ask, and he made a mistake. And he made a mistake with Var Mitzvah, and therefore he is patur. Rabbi Yochanan Kiman. Now Rabbi Yochanan's din is like whom? Who does Rabbi Yochanan hold like? Ilei Merke Rabbi Yossi. If you think it was like Rabbi Yossi, that's not. Rabbi Yossi Omer Yom Tov Arishon Shechag. Shechaliyot B'Shabbat. If the first day of Yom Tov falls out on Shabbat, B'Shachach. He made a mistake, but he took the Lulav and he took the Lulav into the Rishut HaRabim. Patur. He took it out with permission. Permission, not literally, because he's not allowed to carry on Shabbat the lulav. But nevertheless, since he was engaged in a mitzvah that is supposed to be on that day, and by mistake he went out in the Rishut HaRabim, so that's why he is patur. If that's the case, maybe Rabbi Yossi's din is the source for Rabbi Yochanan's statement over here. Because he says, if you're engaged in a mitzvah, then you have a dispensation. Because he was involved in a mitzvah, and he makes a mistake, that's enough to give him the dispensation to say you're patur. Where it says, Dilma Shani Hotam. Maybe it's different over there by the case of Lav Dizmanu Bahu. That it's a case where he's under time pressure, meaning that there's a limited amount of time that he can do the mitzvah. Ve'ala. So who's the source of Rabbi Yochanan's position? Rabbi Yoshua Dizvachim. Rabbi Yoshua in our mission over here. Dilma Hotam Nami Dizmanu Bahu. Over there we're talking about a Korban HaPesach, which also has a time limit to it, but maybe he's under time pressure. And that's why we say it's Tola Dvar Mitzvah, because he's under that type of duress. Elik Rabbi Yeshua the Tino Coat. Maybe it's Rabbi Yeshua of the children, the two babies that are getting Mila. Batanami's Manobaho. Also over there, it's a time limit. There's a time pressure because he's trying to get the baby Maho on the eighth day. Elik Rabbi Yeshua the Truma. Rather, his source is Rabbi Yeshua of Truma, Ditznan. We have a Mishnah in Trumot. Ayahu Chel B'Truma V'Nodoshu Ben Gushel Ben Chalutza. He was in the middle of eating Truma and he finds out that he is a Halal. That he's not a Kohen Kasher, because he was born to his father, a Kohen, married a woman who was divorced, or a woman who had Chalitza done with her. And since he has a psul now, he's a Halal, then with that Shumar, Rabbi Lezer Mechayev Keren V'Chomesh, Rabbi Lezer says you're like a Zar, and then when you eat it, you have to pay up the Keren plus the Chomesh, because you ate it by accident, but you're still a Zar. Rabbi Shua Poter, Rabbi Shua says you're Patu over there. So again, we think it is because he's Osuk B'mitzvah, he's Torah B'mitzvah, he's Osuk in a mitzvah of eating Chuma. There it's not a time-limited mitzvah, and yet we say you're Patur. So too over here, Rabbi Yochanan saying you're Patur. I says, no, Dilmak Rabbi Barabaye. Maybe the reasoning there is based on Rabbi Barabaye, Dam Rabbi Barabaye, B'Chuma, B'Erev Pesach, Zman HaBahu. It's Chuma and Erev Pesach, which needs to be consumed before Zman HaChametz. So there is time pressure there. Inami, Shani Truma, Dikre Avodo. Or maybe Truma is different because it's called Avodo, Avodo Rachmana Akshar. And when it comes to Avodo in the Mikdash, the Torah says that if an Avodo is done by Halal, even though a Kohen Halal is not supposed to do Avodo, if he does do Avodo, that Avodo is not Pasul. Because the Tznan, Hayao Meir Umakriv, he was standing there putting Karmanot on the Mizbeach, and Odoshu Ben Gusha Ben Chalutza finds out that he is a Halal. All Karmanot Kulan Shikriva Agave Mizbeach Psulim. All Karmanot that he put on the Mizbeach Psulim. Rabbi Yeshua Machshir. Rabbi Yeshua says it's fine. Vamrina in my time, huh? Rabbi Yeshua, what's the reason why Rabbi Yeshua's position? Yachtib. Barech Hashem Chelof Al Yadav Tirtze. And Zot HaBracha. And the Bracha to Levi'im, which here it's referencing the Kohanim. It says, Barech Hashem Chelof Al Yadav Tirtze. That Hashem will bless even the chelot, that which is the hukra by a chel or a halal. Nevertheless, the work of his hands will be accepted by Hashem. So there's a special dispensation in the pasuk to accept those karbanot, despite the fact that they're psulim. So maybe we shouldn't extrapolate from that din by the karbanot of a halal to Rabbi Yochanan's din. Where it says, v'truma echi kre avoda. How do you know truma is called an avoda? That you would say that this dispensation applies to it. The Tanya, we have a case. Maisa Rabbi Tofa Shalom Bayamish the Beit Midrash. Tarfon didn't show up in the Beit Midrash the evening before. The Shachrin Matzo Rabbi Gamliel. The next morning Rabbi Gamliel sees him. Amarlo, mi pnei malo batemish the Beit Midrash. Why didn't you come last night to the Beit Midrash? Amarlo, avoda avati. I was busy doing avoda. Amarlo, kol d'varecha imelo d'varei tima. I don't understand what you're saying. There's no avoda today. The Mikdash is destroyed. Minayin. What are you doing? That's an avoda. Amalo, Arihu Omer. Says, I was eating truma. And it says about the truma, avudat matana eten kununatchem. Vazara karev yumat. That Hashem gave them avudat matana. Avudat, it involves the gift. The gift are the matnot kununa. And it calls them an avodah. The matanot are in a part of the avodat ha-kohanim. So asu achilat shuma b'gvulim kavodat beit ha-mikdash. It equates the avodah of truma outside of the mikdash to the avodah in the mikdash. And therefore, truma is called an avodah. If truma is called an avodah, it's subject to the rules of avodah, which say that when a halal eats it by accident or does something with it by accident, that it's considered in the mikdash because kosher avodah. And as far as his eating truma, he's toa b'dvar mitzvah, and he should be patur, according to Rabbi Yeshua. So maybe that's the dispensation over here, and we cannot extrapolate it to Rabbi Yochanan's case by ishto nida and yivimto nida. So that can't be the source for Rabbi Yochanan's position. So again, we don't have a Tana that really gives us support to Rabbi Yochanan's position.
At least according to the first Lashon in Rabbi Yochanan, which is Atabit Var Mitzvah Ba'asa Mitzvah, is the dispensation. And the second Lashon where he says Tarud B'Mitzvah, and he doesn't accomplish a mitzvah, still patur, it's possible that the source for Rabbi Yochanan's position could be Rabbi Meir. It's not definitive, but there you might have a source. But at least in the first Lashon, where it's Tabit Var Mitzvah, Asa Mitzvah is patur, we can't find a Tanaic source for Rabbi Yochanan's position.
So in the end, we have three positions in the Tanaim with regards to Tabit Var Mitzvah. We have Rabbi Lezer's position, which is, it's irrelevant. Tabit Var Mitzvah has no impact, it's no different than Oker. And there is no dispensation. We have Rabbi Meir's position, which is that Torah B'Dvar Mitzvah is always a dispensation, whether it's because Tarud, you're engaged in the mitzvah, that's enough to be poter you, or because Michlaf, you would mix it up with the normal case, or that it's a reasonable expectation that you might mix this up with the mitzvah, or the normal mitzvah of the day, there you're also patur. And in both of those instances, even though you don't accomplish a mitzvah, you're going to be patur, either because of tarud or michlaf.
Assuming that there is a mitzvah involved here that is dochet a Shabbat.
Then we have Rabbi Yeshua's opinion, which is that in a case where you're osek b'mitzvah, and then you accomplish a mitzvah, there you are patur. Now that dispensation applies to any item where either there's an indefinite amount of that mitzvah that can be done, or even in cases where there's a finite number of those mitzvah can be done, it's in a case where the mitzvah is still outstanding. As long as the mitzvah is still outstanding, then you have that patur, you have that dispensation of Tabit Var Mitzvah, so mitzvah is patur. But if the mitzvah has already been accomplished, and then your Tabit Var Mitzvah over there, Rabbi Yeshua believes that there is no such dispensation. And then we had Rabbi Yochanan's position over here that Tabit Var Mitzvah is patur, and the Gemara tried to find a source within the Tanaim for that. Problem is that most of the cases in the Tanaim involves Mano Bahul, a case where there's time pressure, and since there's time pressure, maybe that's why there's a dispensation for Tabit Dvar Mitzvah, or there's a special dispensation to make you patur in the case because it involves Avodah, like by the case of Chuma and the Chadal. In the case of Rabbi Yochanan, there is no time pressure.
Nor does it involve Avodah.
So therefore, we can't find a source in Tanaim to extrapolate to this din of Rabbi Yochanan because we could always differentiate between those cases. Okay, we'll stop over here.